everyone, and welcome to NWR Connectivity episode 351. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year holiday.
I'm joined, as always, by Neil Ronahan.
Hi. Welcome to 2023. We are mere weeks away from me doing this bullshit for 15 years. Not podcasting specifically, but Nintendo World Report.
That's too long. Yeah, time for you to retire.
Way too long. Yep.
Yep.
All right, have fun. John's going to be doing the rest of the episode by himself. I'm out.
I was told you were retiring like 5 years ago, so.
Hey, we're coming up on a 5-year anniversary of you being director.
Yeah, that actually, yeah, like any time now. That was in,
I think,
well,
it was January.
I started secretly in January.
Yeah.
And then we announced it later. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we've got some listener mail. We're going to hop right into listener mail because it's a listener mail that is going to lead us on a journey. So we'll hop right into it. Jared Goblin writes in and says, "Hey, Connectivity. As of writing, we only know of 5 games Nintendo is publishing in 2023. Fire Emblem Engage, Kirby's Return to Dream Land DX, Bayonetta Origins, Tears of the Kingdom, and Pikmin 4. Besides Zelda, which one are you most anticipating? Which one of these do you think will sell the least? Regarding last week's topic, my favorite games of the year were Splatoon 3, Fall Guys, Kirby's Forgotten Land, and Live a Live. Also, congrats on reaching 100 episodes as part of this Neil and John era of the show." I didn't realize that we had hit 100 episodes of you
and me
doing
the
show.
It did, because I think we started at 250.
Yeah.
So that makes sense.
Well, no, we started at 251. So this is the 100th one.
Well, no, 350 would be the 100th one. This is the 101st one.
Didn't we start at, oh yeah, wait, which one do we start at?
If we started who knows? I think if we started at 251, this would be 101. If we started at 250, this would be 102. I don't know.
Whatever.
I probably got it wrong. Correct
me. I'm like 2/3 of a way through a beer.
So going to that, besides Zelda, which Zelda is the one I'm most anticipating. Duh.
Yeah, I'm not sure what else. I hope Pikmin 4 is good. I am excited for Bayonetta, but like I don't expect it to be more exciting than Zelda.
I was about to say I can tell you what one I'm least excited for, and that's Bayonetta. Not that I think it looks bad. It's just that I heard a little mixed things of the secret, or I guess it's not a secret demo, because I think Nintendo, like after the announcement, was like, "By the way, you can play a demo of the game in Bayonetta 3." Heard a little mixed things about that. Like, I need to see more of Bayonetta Origins to see if it's something that I want to spend time with.
I am interested. I mean, this is going to be a $60 game, so they seem confident in it.
Yeah.
I feel like there must be more to it than I've seen. I guess I'm interested to see additional trailers of it.
Maybe if there's some demo stuff, which we might see soon, because it's coming out as of recording. It's like, you know, 2 months and change away. It's the kind of thing that, in the totality of everything after Zelda, it's definitely Pikmin 4. But we have seen like 15 seconds, if that, of Pikmin 4. So it's hard to be excited about something that I still don't fully believe exists.
Right. I'm excited about the idea of a new Pikmin game.
Yeah. Like, I'm definitely, especially as of recording, it's the day that Matt Sawatniak's preview for Fire Emblem Engage went out. I'm very excited for that. But that's also like out in 2 weeks. So it's very tangible and in my face.
Yeah.
Kirby, I'm excited for, in the sense that my son has, it's kind of slowed down recently, but he played the crap out of Forgotten Land last year, moved over to Star Allies. So I'm looking forward to playing Return to Dreamland with him, because it'll be a different game. I've had to beat the final boss in in Star Allies and Forgotten Land at least a dozen times each. Minimum, like at least.
Yeah.
Like it is to the point where like I'm like one-handed beating the boss in both of those games. And it's like, it's a Kirby game. It's not like it's that hard. Like, this isn't like some, like, I'm going to start going on like awesome games done quick or something with it. But it's just that, like, I just know the patterns of these final bosses so well that I can do it in my sleep. But I'm excited to play a different Kirby game. that's where I'm at.
I do think we're sleeping on how nice of a remaster that looks to be.
It looks like, really good.
Like when you see it, you don't immediately realize how different it looks. But if you put it side by side with the Wii version, it's like, it's not just like, oh, the textures are higher resolution. Like all of the assets are different. Like it's like,
it was a Wii game.
Right. Like, they like remade SD graphics, it,
man. Yeah.
Yeah. Like it looks incredible. Not my game probably, but it looks very nice.
It's weird because I think there might even be an old E3 preview. I was real stoked for this game when I played it at E3. I think it was then, like, there was just like Kirby Wii or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then when it came out, I remember I played through it because that was in the days when we'd get, well, because Nintendo did not do download games at the time. No one really did. So we would get physical copies of games sent for review. And as the person that the games got sent to, I would typically, if it was, you know, I was like, oh, I'm kind of curious about this game, I'd usually get it and I'd be at work during the day. So I'd come home and be like, oh, cool, we got Kirby. Gonna mail it out to someone tomorrow morning. I'm gonna play the crap out of it tonight. I played hours of Kirby and was like, this is okay. And I think I wound up getting a copy of the game when it did come out. And it was fine. At least in my mind, I thought Triple Deluxe, Planet Robobo, and Star Allies were all better games. But I have heard a lot of people over the years talk about how Return to Dreamland is like the best of those, you know, modern 2D Kirby games, which raise a little bit of an eyebrow too from my memory. But I'm willing to play it again. I don't think I'll have a choice because of my kid.
In fairness, it was a Wii game and probably a lot of people's first Kirby game, so that may also be factoring into why it's the best one of the new ones.
I mean, yeah, that could be. And I think the multi, and I do like, I think in the multiplayer on Wii, only the first player could be Kirby, and everybody else I think had to be like DDD, Meta Knight, and Bandana Waddle Dee. And I believe in this one of the selling points is that everybody can be Kirby, which is cool.
Yeah, I think it's just a bunch of different colored Kirbys.
Yep.
The second part of this question was, which one do you think will sell least? It's Bayonetta Origins.
Yeah.
Like 100%, not a doubt in my mind, it's Bayonetta Origins.
I mean, Tears of the Kingdom. I mean, if we can rank them in sales potential, Tears of the Kingdom definitely.
At the top, yep.
Kirby's probably number two, Fire Emblem's number three, Pikmin, then Bayonetta.
Agreed. Yeah, no notes.
Because I feel like N-Gage is going to do good. I don't think it's going to, I mean, because what? I think Three Houses wound up around 3 milli. I can see N-Gage landing somewhere in the same ballpark. I don't know. Like, I'll be curious to see if it outsells Three Houses. I kind of think it won't, but who knows?
Yeah, I mean, I might buy it.
It looks really good. I mean, even, I know the Digital Foundry preview came out today, too.
Yeah, they seemed positive on it.
It's also something that you also called it out when we were talking about the Digital Foundry preview earlier. I feel like people paper over the fact that Three Houses was running on toothpicks. I enjoy the game. I think there is an artistic style there. I also think it kind of ran poorly at times. Like, it is not knocking Three Houses.
It's almost like they tried to shove a tactics JRPG into a Warriors engine for some reason.
Yeah, yeah.
On a system that doesn't run the Warriors engine very well either.
I thought Three Hopes ran a little better, but also I forget what all the technical tomfoolery, but I do recall when Three Hopes came out last year that people were like, oh, it actually is running better than Age of Calamity.
Yeah, Three Hopes ran better than Age of Calamity. Three Houses was very low resolution.
Yeah.
And had no anti-aliasing. It was just raw pixels.
Bad
and everybody
text
had
on handheld.
All the textures were just hilariously low resolution, and everybody had those like black outlines, but because it was so low resolution, you just had rogue black pixels floating around all the characters. It looked so bad. And like, it's not that, like, what I've seen of N-Gage doesn't look like incredible. It just looks like a functional game, which, like, it takes a lot for me to want to stop playing a game because of how it looks. Like, I feel like I can put up with a lot. There was more that caused me to stop playing Three Houses than that. But yeah, Three Houses was rough.
Yeah. And I do just like the snappiness of N-Gage's UI, too.
Yeah, it looks really nice.
So there is something in, and Chariot Goblin does not point it out here, but the fact that he lists the five games that we know that Nintendo is publishing in 2023, it got me thinking of something that I feel like comes up at the end and beginning of every year, where people are like, Nintendo hasn't announced anything for the year. Is there anything coming out? And I did a little digging to point out that Nintendo does this all the fucking time.
Yep. Yearly, in fact.
Yeah. So did some research before recording, looking at 2019 through 2022, as far as games that we knew were coming out as of the beginning of that year. So 2019, here's what we knew, what was previously announced. Maybe it didn't have a release date yet, but here's what we knew about. We knew about Fitness Boxing and New Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe. They both came out in January, so like hopefully we knew about them beforehand.
I think we had dates for those, yeah.
Yoshi's Crafted World came out in March. We might have had a date for that. I forgot exactly, but that was announced, I think, at E3 2017 or something like that. Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, which was announced at a Keighley show in 2018, so a couple weeks before 2019. Fire Emblem Three Houses, which was announced at the beginning of 2017.
I don't remember.
That might have been announced, but like that was known. Luigi's Mansion 3 was announced at a September Direct in September 2018. And like, I'll give half credit to Pokemon Sword and Shield. We knew a Pokemon game was coming in the second half of 2019. Sword and Shield themselves did not get officially announced until 2019.
But like, in fairness, we would have known that whether or not they announced anything.
They come out with Pokemon games all the time.
Yep.
So that is 2019. We knew of 6 games. Seven. So that's
one more.
6.5. So one more. 1.5 more. In 2020, it goes down. We knew of Tokyo Mirage Sessions, another game that like we better have known because it came out in January. Pokemon Mystery Dungeon, which came out in February, I think.
Actually, forgot that game existed.
Was that known beforehand? I kind of just thought of it like Pokemon Snap. I'm not 100% sure that was...
No, it was announced January of 2020, so we didn't know about it yet.
So we knew about Tokyo Mirage Sessions, Animal Crossing New Horizons, and Xenoblade Chronicles Definitive Edition to start 2020.
Three games.
We knew three games is all we knew about. 2021, we knew about Super Mario 3D World plus Bowser's Fury. We knew about Bravely Default 2, and we knew about Pokemon Snap. Three games. Woo. We did not know about Metroid Dread or Mario Party Superstars or the 15 Pokemon games that came out that year. Because I think that was also Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl came out that year. What else? What was a summer game? Paper Mario was 2020. 2021, what the hell else came out in 2021? Mario Golf?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But yeah, we didn't know about Metroid Dread. There's three games is all we knew about in 2021, and they came out in the first 4 months of the year. 2022, we knew about five games. That is seems to be the, you know, the average. We knew about Arceus, which that came out in January, so hopefully. Triangle Strategy, which came out, what was that? I forget, the first weekend of March or something like that. We knew about Kirby and the Forgotten Land, another March release. We knew about Splatoon 3, which was announced pretty far in advance and wound up coming out in September of the year. And we knew about Bayonetta 3, which was announced 15 years before it came out.
You know what's funny about 2022 versus 2023 is that the games we knew about were a Nintendo-made JRPG coming out in January, a HD 2D game, a Kirby game, a Bayonetta game, and then the only one that's off is Splatoon, which is now Zelda. But otherwise, it's essentially the same lineup as we have this year.
Yeah. It is weird. but like, yeah, we didn't know about Xenoblade 3. I had to double check that one.
Yeah. Which came out in what, July? June? July.
July.
Yeah, July.
It was announced
I
for
played
September.
It in June because I was special.
So yeah, that's games that came out, we don't know about a lot of games. It's not a big surprise. Guess what? We're going to find out a lot more about Nintendo's 2023 within the next couple weeks, probably.
Yep, there's usually a direct around the beginning of the year.
Yeah, whether it's sometime later in January or February or maybe even March. They're gonna need to spend more time on Zelda. They're gonna need to start revealing some other things coming out throughout the year.
They maybe need to delay Metroid Zelda.
Prime. Yeah. So now let's get into predictions, John. Do you really think Zelda's gonna get delayed?
I think Zelda will get delayed to fall of 2023. Like I think it'll come out this year, but I think it's coming out in like September, November range.
I think if Zelda's going to get delayed, we're going to find out about it very, very soon.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, like in that January or February direct.
Yeah. Like I think
a very Zelda... sad yet beautifully haired Aonuma will come out and be like, I'm very sorry.
I think some of this is, I really hope that fucking game comes out, but I think Zelda's coming out in May. I do think, though, if we're in February and we have not heard anything about the delay, I think it's coming out in May.
Here's the thing I will say. It has an ESRB rating, which is a good sign, because that means the ESRB has seen,
yeah,
like essentially the entire game.
Yeah, I forget, but I think I remember whether it was digging into it or if there was actually like a, here's the process of the ESRB. But I do think there is some stuff where, like, I think there's a little bit of leniency with some of the bigger companies, but it is the kind of thing, like, if Nintendo were to be like, oh, there's no dicks in Zelda, and there winds up being a dick in Zelda, then the ESRB would, like, kick the shit out of them.
I think it has to be, like, content complete.
Yeah.
Like, they can still be, like, optimizing and things, but everything that's going to be in the game needs to be in the game for the ESRB to rate it, I believe.
Yeah, I think Zelda's coming out in May. What do you think is going to come out, let's say, the rest of Q2, if anything, honestly? Because we have a game for March, we have a game for February, we have a game for January. Do you think anything else is going to come out in Q2?
We're going to be drizzling out Xenoblade and Mario Kart DLC, of course.
Yep. Yeah, I would say whatever Direct happens, we're going to have probably a date or a shadow drop for Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. We got more Xenoblade parts. Fire Emblem Engage DLC will enter the fray as well. What else has DLC on tap? Splatoon. I think Splatoon's going to be summer with their Octo expansion equivalent, at best.
Did the Octo expansion come out? Wasn't that more than a year after Splatoon 2, or was it really just?
Yeah.
So I don't.
What did they say about Splatoon 3 DLC?
Does it have a season pass yet?
They said 2 years of post-launch support and large-scale paid DLC.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe that'll be 2024.
Yeah, I feel like they can keep on releasing, you know, weapons and events and things.
If they didn't do the thing like with Xenoblade, where they said like by the end of 2023, I think was the Xenoblade 3.
Yeah.
Which I think whatever Xenoblade 3's expansion is, which, oh my god, I can't wait. I feel like that'll be like late summer, fall, probably around the Torna time.
Yep. Yeah, probably. Yeah, I put that in November. I'm just going to put everything in November. No, I'll put that in October. At any point, Advance Wars could strike without warning. That could literally shadow drop. And at this point, I think it will.
Yeah, because I feel like the concept of an Advance Wars retail release might not happen.
Unless there were literally already copies made.
Which there probably were.
There may have. I'm trying to remember how late. It was really late. Yeah.
It was a month really before. Late.
Yeah. So there probably are physical copies in existence that probably have like the wrong date on them. Boy, though, those could be collector's items. Yeah. I'm trying to think of what else.
So Pikmin 3. Do you think Pikmin 3 is actually hitting in 2023? Or Pikmin 4.
No.
I'll play Pikmin 3 again. That game rules.
No, I don't.
I don't think so either.
We haven't seen anything of that game, and what we have seen looked maybe more like target renders than actual gameplay.
Yeah, I think Pikmin 4 has first half of 2024 written all over it to me.
Yeah, I think the fact that the closest thing they showed us to gameplay was a picture of where the camera was going to be, like that feels very... that feels borderline like early Wii U era, that like January direct where they just threw everything out and there's like, here's a drawing of Yoshi on a napkin.
Yeah.
That's what Pikmin 4 feels like right now.
What's wild to is like, why you weren't forced to announce it. It was a totally acceptable direct. Otherwise, maybe not totally acceptable, but like it was fine.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's farther along than I think, but I just,
yeah,
I do not like, I think we said it at the time, but they're only like a step up from the Metroid Prime 4 logo. Like, yeah, they had some target renders in the background of the logo, but like, that's about it.
So you mentioned Metroid. What do you think is going to happen with Metroid?
Well,
in 2023, let's say.
In 2023, we have to get something from Metroid. Like, Metroid Prime 4 isn't going to come out in 2023. I don't think it will. But, like, trailer.
I'll be contrarian. Surely. Metroid Prime 4 will come out in November.
Okay. That would be great. But either way.
Very excited for it, regardless.
Either way, E3 trailer. For some reason, I don't feel like this will show up in a direct. I don't know. There's something about it that feels like this is like, if you're gonna do E3, and I don't know if Nintendo's like committed to doing classic E3 or not, but if you're gonna do E3, like, Metroid Prime 4 feels like a great show closer E3 trailer, especially if it's like a good beefy trailer.
I think it kind of depends. I feel like Metroid Prime 4 would be better served being in like in that, you know, that February or March direct, like having that be the unveiling of it.
See,
it might, like, I think it also depends a little bit as to when it comes out.
Yeah.
But like, I think if it, like, I'm in a spot with Metroid Prime 4 where it's like how I felt about Zelda for 2022 this time last year. Mm-hmm. Where I was like 50-50. I think I'm like, yeah, there's a world where Tears of the Kingdom, which we didn't know it was called that then, that was going to come out, you know, holiday 2022. I think that was a possibility. I also thought just as equally it was getting delayed to 2023. That's what happened. That's kind of where I'm at with Metroid Prime 4, is that I feel like the goal is to have it out holiday this year. There's a very good chance that we're playing it in like May 2024 instead. I think if it's coming out, if it is indeed on track for, you know, November 2023, ideal marketing plan to me is have maybe that end of the direct, end one teaser trailer, that's just that, like, oh wow, like, Metroid Prime 4, it's back from the dead, holy shit. And then at E3 is when you do the bigger rollout, give it a confirmed mm-hmm. release date, and then either shadow drop or be like, and hey, Metroid Prime HD is coming out in August before the release of Metroid Prime 4 in November, or something like that.
Interesting. I had kind of the same thought, but in reverse, where I think in the direct, in like February or whatever, you show the trailer for Metroid Prime 1 HD, and then at the end you tease Metroid Prime 4, and then have the full reveal of Prime 4 at E3.
That could work too.
Either way, Prime 4 is getting a trailer at least this year. Yeah. And as we hinted at, boy, that Prime 1 remake that exists sure could come out at any time.
Yeah, I would like to play that game whenever it comes out.
Yeah, I'd like us to be confirmed as not crazy people for still believing that game's real.
Yep. I believe now that Christmas is done, I need to believe in a new god, and it's Metroid Prime.
Maybe they're saving it so they can do Prime, Echoes, and Corruption all in a trilogy pack, all fully remade.
Yeah, for $25.
Yep, they will run at 540p, and you'll question whether they really look better than they did on GameCube.
Do you think that another Mercury's Theme 2D Metroid is going to come out on Switch?
Yes. Let's see. Dread was 2021, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think this year, but I think next year we could get Fusion Remake in the same, using a lot of the same assets and engine as Dread.
I think if it is a remake of an older game, I think we could see it. Like, I think we could see it on Switch before new hardware comes out. I think if it is a brand new game, it's either gonna like come out like Samus Returns came out on 3DS, where, I mean, hopefully whatever the successor console is, it's backwards compatible. But it could be the thing, like, let's say we've got new hardware in 2025. There's new hardware.
I think that's the earliest date that seems reasonable for it.
Yeah, I mean, who knows what holiday 2024 could bring? I feel like holiday 2024 is the absolute earliest possible.
It's definitely not this year. Yeah.
Like, I think holiday 2024 is like when we can start being like, well, maybe they'll have a new console out then. But I think 2025 is probably a safer bet. But I feel like if it is a brand new game, then we'll see it like release on old Switch in 2025. And then have it, I mean, it would be like a, you know, how we had all them cross-gen PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X games. I think it might function like that, where, like, I don't know, it runs at 60 frames per second on Switch 2.
Yeah, I would hope that they don't do the Samus Returns thing again and just put it on the system that's freshly outdated.
Like, yeah. Which I'm glad that I'm happy that I contributed to Samus Returns' positive reception. One, because I really like that game. And two, because I think it sold like shit, but I think the main reason why Mercury's team got to make Dread was because everybody seemed to like Samus Returns.
Well, and even if it didn't sell great, like, I mean, what was the budget of Samus Returns? Like, you know, how much did they actually invest in that game? Because it didn't look like the most expensive 3DS game I've ever played.
You know what's weird? We're talking about 2023, and we haven't mentioned Mario at all.
That's true. Yeah, we haven't. So the breakdown of that, you had Mario Odyssey, but then like Mario 3D World and Bowser's Fury wasn't the entire Odyssey team, right? It was
NST did help out, and I think NST also helped out with Odyssey. They're kind of like that. I think NST has kind of morphed into like an EPD Tokyo support studio in some ways, because I think NST also helped out with like Captain Toad, that port. They actually might have done the port to 3DS, which, impressive port, honestly.
Here's the thing I'll mention about NST that I noticed a couple days ago. Of the jobs Nintendo is currently hiring that are actually in, like, game development, not, like, you know, office manager and, like, things like that, but, like, actual, like, game development jobs. Last I looked, they had, like, 8 jobs posted, and 5 of them were at NST. So they are doing some sort of hiring push there. For what would appear to be a 3D game based on what they're hiring for. Don't know what that is, obviously. But anytime you see it's normal to see a smattering of jobs across the various portions of the company. But like anytime there's like a big focus in a single company, I feel like that might mean something.
And it is weird because if you think about even like EPD Tokyo as a whole. They put out Odyssey in 2017, and I guess like they worked on some ports of shit and Bowser's Fury, and it's right now we're six years since Odyssey. Like that's what we're looking at. Like you got to think they have to have something, but what is that something?
Right. Yeah, and it would be like, as you said, like this year or next year would be the ideal times to get it out before, unless you want to save it to have something at the launch of the next system. But at this point, you'd have already been working on it for Switch for so long.
There is the rumor that EPD Tokyo was working on a Donkey Kong game, which I do. It's something that I think I don't think I mentioned on the show. I know I mentioned it to you offline about how when the Super Mario Brothers movie, the most recent direct where they showed off Donkey Kong, like Miyamoto was just like, yeah, we redesigned it for the first time since fucking Brits got it. And I feel like that's the kind of thing that like you don't redesign borderline flagship character unless there's plans to do more with that character. And I do. I mean, there is the rumor that like I think the potential like second film or project after the Mario Brothers movie is supposedly a Donkey Kong thing. The next part of Super Nintendo World is Donkey Kong themed, that I think is under construction in Japan now. I forget exactly. And we haven't seen a new Donkey Kong game in a long time. So maybe that EPD Tokyo working on a Donkey Kong game thing is true. And maybe we see that game this year.
Was Tropical Freeze on Wii U? Was that 2014?
Yes.
So it's been almost 10 years.
Yeah.
Since a new Donkey Kong game came out. I do think it would be it feels very weird for them to completely redesign a flagship character. And I'm trying, I mean, there's like Link, but outside of Link, I'm trying to think of another character that they've done that with.
Yeah, because like a lot of like the Mario ones were kind of like subtle over the years. Like there was that period where he had like real denim jeans.
Yeah, but like his design was pretty, like his arms keep changing length, but
yeah,
like his face, like he looks very much the same. He's immediately recognizable. Whereas Donkey Kong, like part of that redesign is they've really changed his whole face and figure. And I mean, he looks like the arcade game Donkey Kong, but he has looked the same outside of Smash Bros. For N64, where he looked like a monster. He has looked the same since the Super Nintendo games.
Yeah, for 30 years at this point.
Yeah, like that's just what he looks like. And it's crazy to me that you would, like, redesigning him in the movie to match the art style of the movie is one thing, but like changing how he looks in the game seems, I guess you do that and then you just call it Donkey Kong. He can like escort around
Donkey Kong.
Yeah, he can escort around like DK Diddy. Jr.
Yeah. And boy,
call him boy. God, oh man.
Can we get
if
Christopher
they got
Judge
Christopher Judge to
kick,
oh
get
man.
Seth Rogen the fuck out of here. It's Christopher Judge time.
That would be incredible. Oh man. Imagine the acceptance speeches.
It is how fucking funny would it be if they have a new Donkey Kong game and it's fully voiced and they get Seth Rogen to do the voice.
God. No, I want Christopher Judge needs to be in more stuff.
Yeah.
He has a beautiful voice.
He does have a very deep man voice.
And I want him to have more acceptance. He apparently did set a record with that acceptance speech.
Yeah. He had some very funny tweets about it.
Yeah. But I think it is like officially the longest acceptance speech at an award show.
Good for him.
Ever. Yeah. Yeah. Nobody's going to stop him. He's huge.
But it is still weird that there is literally like a major motion picture for Mario coming out, and the most recent Mario games that have come out in the past, like I think 2022 was like the lowest amount of games with Mario in the title in like 30 years.
Yeah.
Because I think it was just Strikers, and I think there was a second game, but I forget what it is.
There wasn't a Mario Party. I think it was just Strikers.
Yeah. And then I guess like Mario Kart DLC and stuff.
Yeah.
But like it's just weird, bizarre. Nintendo would be dumb to not capitalize on the fact that the movie's coming out unless they are relying on things like the Mario Kart DLC to drive new system sales and stuff, which, you know, probably isn't a bad strategy.
Like, you know, Mario Kart still sells incredible numbers. Does Mario Odyssey doesn't still sell incredible numbers or anything, right?
I mean, it did. I think Mario Odyssey made it to 20 million. Which would make it the best-selling 3D Mario of all time, I believe.
24.4 million units.
Dang.
As of this random thing that popped up at the top of my search.
It might have slowed down over time. I think it has. I forget. I know there was a while where like that and Zelda were still kind of hanging on, but I think I remember. I think Odyssey kind of tailed off.
Yeah.
But I would assume that, you know, the movie would probably juice that up a little bit. But I do feel like there's got to be something. It might not be right alongside the movie, because maybe they want to drive things specifically to the movie. It seems like Nintendo has a lot of control with that movie, and also is very happy with how things have been going. So maybe they do want to give a little bit of the spotlight to the movie. But I feel like as the Mario movie comes out on digital and DVD and HBO and blah, 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 I feel like you kind of want to have a game to point people to that is, I mean, maybe not like in line with the movie, but just like something about like, oh, did you like the movie? Here's more. It's $60. Buy it.
Yep. Boy, Breath of the Wild is still the fourth best-selling Switch game. That's impressive. Mario Odyssey is at number 6.
Okay. So I guess, I mean, it didn't really tail off.
Impressively, Super Mario Party is number 7.
Yeah. Yeah,
which that game, is that higher game than up. I would have thought.
Maybe we'll get a new Mario Party or get like super late DLC for another one.
I was going to say, I thought there were like
data mines
for that said there was going to be DLC, but nothing's come out of it.
Yeah. And I mean, Superstars was awesome.
Yeah.
Easily the best Mario Party game that I've played since 1999. I don't know. I guess I had some fun with the Wii ones. But I'm not the deviants of Mario Party Monthly playing all the weird GameCube ones. But Yeah, I mean, I like a new Mario Party game wouldn't surprise me. I feel like we're starting to get sported out of Mario games, but if you look at the numbers, I believe what Mario Tennis Open came out in 2018, Mario Golf Super Rush came out in 2021. Maybe not this year, but we could see Camelot do another game in 2024. Maybe it'll be Golden Sun.
That'd be neat.
They're ready. They're like, we did all the sports games, Nintendo. Just let us make our RPG.
They're going to give Golden Sun to Xenoblade. to Monolith, not to Xenoblade. Xenoblade is not a company.
I was going to say, I want to see Golden Sun done in the Xenoblade manner. But still, with no voice acting, just the emoji bullshit.
That'd be so good. I play every RPG should be done in the Xenoblade style. I'd play a lot more of them.
It's I think the Golden Sun games on, well, the DS game is bad. If you liked it, that's awesome. It's not very good. But the GBA ones, I feel, are games that I liked a lot more because I didn't really have any other choice.
you have to view them in context.
Yeah, right? Only new JRPG, traditional JRPGs on that system, I think. Like, there was some Mana games that were okay, I guess.
The Golden Sun games felt like lost Super Nintendo games. Yeah. Like, there was something about them that just, they felt very high production value as compared to anything else on GBA, which was most of the other best stuff on GBA, honestly, was like Super Nintendo ports. So, yeah, they were a big deal.
Not to put down, I mean, like, the Final Fantasy, like, especially, like, 5 and 6 on GBA are probably the best versions of those games before the pixel remasters. But, like, yeah, Golden Sun is a game that I don't think has aged as well, but it is important for what it was, and it's been 10-plus years since that DS game. I kind of wouldn't mind seeing Camelot kicking that can again and seeing what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be fun. Do you think we'll get a new NSO platform update?
Game Boy. This year? Put Golden Sun on it.
There you go. It feels like it. We didn't get Genesis and N64 last year. That was the year before, right?
Yeah.
That was 2021.
Yeah, this year's like the resub please thing was GoldenEye, which I'll point out
is
still not
here
out
yet.
No. Yeah. That was kind of the expectation that we'd get a new console last year. And I guess it's fine. I think they have a lot of subs for NSO. They're not quite in like a panic mode. And they kind of,
Splatoon 3 is just general. I mean,
yeah.
That'll do it. That doesn't necessarily get you the expansion pack, but it got plenty of subs off of that.
But like the additional N64 games, they did add some Mario Party games. And we do have GoldenEye coming eventually, which I'm very excited for when that lands. But I would assume we'll get another one. We probably won't hear about it until like September. I feel like it's got to be Game Boy. And I think if you do it, you do Game Boy and Game Boy Color as base NSO and you do GBA as expansion pack.
Yeah. And that kind of feels like, if we assume this thing is going out in like 2025, like adding Game Boy and Game Boy Advance kind of feels like that's where you could end NSO on this system, because I don't think they'll do like GameCube. DS would be problematic.
Yeah.
GameCube, not because it couldn't run it, but because of like those games are large. And having a thing that has 20 to 30 GameCube games on it would take up a huge amount of space on your system.
Yeah, like that is the problem with, I mean, both GameCube and Wii. I mean, I don't think Wii's really a candidate for NSO, because I think they can just, port those like Kirby's Return to Dreamland. But I feel like GameCube's unattainable just because of the size.
Yeah, and DS you could do, but it would be it wouldn't be like Wii U where DS was like perfect. It would be a very awkward implementation.
I mean, that's why Switch 2 needs to be a Switch, but there's two screens. I don't know how they do it. Figure it out.
I've seen a lot of prototypes where it looks like an old phone with a full keyboard, where like it just slide, like the screen slides up and then there's a keyboard, but it would be like the screen slides up and then there's another screen.
Like, make it happen. I want it. Yeah. Because it's something that I've realized, where there hasn't been a new Etrian Odyssey game in a while, the only way for us to get back to where we should be is by adding a second screen. And also, I always liked when there'd be like, oh, there's a map just right there.
It's something I miss about the DS was that it closed and you didn't need to buy a case for it.
Yep.
Because it came, like, it just was one.
It had its own case.
And I would like that for the Switch 2, the Switch U as well. But we'll see. Yeah. So that's a bit of looking ahead at 2022. Real quick now, at the end of the episode, me and Neil have been playing some games. Mine is not out yet. And I don't know if yours is already out, right?
Yeah, no, mine it was Shadow Drop at an Indie World. Remember those?
Okay. But I've been playing, starting today, I've been playing Onion Assault, which is the new game from Bertel Horberg, creator of such classics as Gunman Clive, Gunman Clive 2, Mextermination Force, and Super Punch Patrol, all of which are like just top. Like, if I were to make a list of the 10 best indie games on Switch, like, it would just, there would be like a Bertel category. Because the dude just, every time he makes a game, he just goes, I want to do this genre, picks a new genre, makes a new game in that genre, and just nails it, and then never goes back unless it's Gunman Clive 2. But he just, they're all great, and they're all so polished, and they're usually just kind of like short, nice, fun experiences with neat art. They're always very well tailored to Switch because he makes them for Switch. And they're just fantastic. But Onion Assault is a 2D platformer heavily inspired by Super Mario Brothers 2, the American version of Super Mario Brothers 2, Doki Doki Panic. So you jump onto enemies and pick them up and throw them at other enemies to kill them. You can pull onions out of the ground, thus the title, and throw those at people. The level design does feel like you can tell. You can see the Gunman Clive in the level design. Gunman Clive was very much a Mega Man game, and this has a lot of that level design, but as strictly a 2D platformer, there's no shooting. So it winds up being like pretty difficult at times, but then it has, like, the boss battles are something you would expect more in a Mega Man type game, where you're doing a lot of like ducking and dodging under fire and then waiting for their weak point to open up and then throwing something at them. Like, it, the bosses feel like you're fighting a Mega Man boss, but within Mario 2, and it's really cool. The art style, unlike a lot of his games, have this sort of, like, his signature art style is sort of this like sketchbook look. It looks like you're looking at a pencil sketch that's kind of just in motion. This one looks a bit more like Mextermination Force, which was, you know, full color and just very clean. I don't think all of the characters look great, but the backgrounds, especially later in the game, really do just look like an animation. They're very clean. Once again, this is a game built for the Switch, so I'm pretty sure it's 1080p docked, 720p handheld, and a flawless 60 the whole way through. Like, it runs perfectly. It looks very clean. I do think I prefer his more sketchy art style, but this looks very nice. And yeah, the only thing I can say about the art is that there are definitely some areas where it comes off as a little bland. But I can't tell if that's because it's actually, like, I think that's intentional. Like, it's meant to look very, very clean. But yeah, once again, I probably prefer his other art style, but this still looks good. And I'm enjoying it. It doesn't come out until the 20th, right? I think it's around the same time as Fire Emblem.
Yes.
Find it.
I know it was set for the 17th and it might have been pushed back a week, but I think he got the patch in, so it might still be coming out the 17th.
It is the 26th.
Okay, so it did get pushed back.
Yep. But yeah, so we'll have a code closer to launch.
A review, not a code.
A code. I'm looking at the code. I'm looking at the code while talking about this. yeah, so we'll have a review closer to launch. But yeah, so far I'm enjoying it. Bertel don't miss. So it's always a pretty safe bet with his games. We were talking about this a little bit before the show. If you follow on Twitter, he's been working on sort of like a Souls-like game.
That's like Souls-like mixed with Punch-Out. It looks incredible.
Yes. But he said that he sort of put that on the back burner because he can't get it to run very well on Switch. And so he's waiting for new hardware, which is the strongest argument I've ever heard that Nintendo needs to update the Switch, is that, like, Birtle has run out of room, Nintendo. Like, I need you to make another one because I need more games from this man.
Yeah.
And I want to play his Punch-Out Souls very badly. So please consult with Birtle. Just get him whatever he needs. Treat it like the N64 controller for Mario 64, where you just design the whole thing around this one game. Yeah. Neil, how's Rogue Legacy 2?
So Rogue Legacy 2, game from Cellardor Games that came out on, it was an early access game that then came out in 1.0 form on Switch in, what was that, November Indie Direct, I think? Something like that. But it was a game that I was kind of looking forward to. I wanted to wait for it to get out of early access, and it did, got it on the Switch, finally got around to playing it this week, and it's fine. But Rogue Legacy was a game that I thought was super, super cool, but got very punitive very fast. The way that the hook of it is still outstanding, and that, you know, platformer where you're going through, like, it feels vaguely Castlevania-ish. You have a starting area, and there's basically, you know, procedurally generated rooms. You want to collect a bunch of gold, and there's also, like, different parts of the procedurally generated area where you have different levels that will conclude in different boss fights. Beat all the boss fights, you'll, you know, like, unlock a main door that you can then go into and beat the game. It is, you know, a roguelite in the sense that there is kind of progress going forward, but the main hook is that you play as a knight, and then when you die, you get to pick from a couple other, you know, knights that then are, like, the next in that legacy, hence the name Rogue Legacy.
Right.
But the funny thing is that they all have different traits, and sometimes it'll be, like, you know, like, just a, you know, different, like, could be stronger or something like that. Some of them are really silly, like, it'll be like, oh, like, this one's nearsighted, so everything's just fuzzy. I think some of the ones that I've come across in Rogue Legacy 2 is that, like, they just view everything as pumpkins. It's like the spooky version. There's one where every enemy is censored, so you can't tell exactly what enemy is. It's just got, like, the, you know, the blurry pixelated dots on all over it. Mm-hmm. Then there's other stuff like Cartographer, where the entire map, usually when you play, you go into rooms and you fill in the map as you progress through it. Mm-hmm. There's, like, a you know, a buff or a hindrance, depending on your look at it, that's Cartographer, where you will get to see the entire map. However, you do not have a player icon to track where you go, so you need to, like, figure out how to read the map. It's got a lot of clever stuff like that. And then as you play through it, you earn coins that then when you die, you can upgrade your, like, family's house, and that unlocks different character classes. It gives you, you know, higher starting damage, higher starting health. There's, like, a home base where you can then, like, upgrade it to get a blacksmith so you can buy upgraded weapons. There are, like, ways to save money, because every time you initially, when you die, you have to spend as much money as you can, because then you have to get rid of it when you go to, yeah, you know, go back into the castle. But then you do have ways that you can kind of stockpile money. But I'm running into the same problem that I had with the first one, where I'm having a really great time, you know, slowly trying to take down some of these bosses and stuff like that. But then it just feels like it kind of hits a spot where it just gets very punitive, where they have it as you spend money and you level up, like, things cost more money. So it kind of isn't, and you need to then start going on longer runs to be able to unlock things. And it definitely feels a lot smoother than the first one. But I'm hitting that same spot where I never finished the first Rogue Legacy. I thought it was really good, and I kind of feel like I'm going to wind up in the same spot with the second one, where I'll probably, you know, I'll get pretty far into it, but I'm going to hit a point where I'm like, I think I'm kind of done with this. Like, I do like the class variety feels a lot better this time around. There's, you know, your mage, your ranger, your barbarian, but then there's, like, silly shit where you're, like, a chef. And you beat people with a frying pan. But it feels more like it's a really good hook that it's just not something that I'm going nuts over, which I kind of was hoping I would. Yeah. So it's a little bit of a bummer. I, like, definitely not going to call Rogue Legacy 2 bad.
Sure.
but it is not like I've definitely heard some people be over the moon for it, and I think I'm just kind of landing on where like this is fine.
Yeah. That's fine though.
And I finished the post game that I wanted to in Pokemon Violet, so I'm putting that one to bed, and I'm going back to finally finish Xenoblade 3, so we can finally proud have our spoiler cast 6 months after the game came out.
I guess. Well, I'm pretty sure RFN like just did theirs.
Yeah, so, we can give it some time.
Like by NWR standards, I think we're okay still. I did also over the holidays play through Escape Academy on Xbox Game Pass.
It's a good game.
That game is so good. I played it entirely in co-op with my wife, and we finished it, and immediately this is how you know the Game Pass system works. I immediately was like, well, there's a season pass for this, and there's one DLC pack already out. I'm gonna buy the season pass so we can play that DLC. And then I was like, and because I feel weird about buying DLC for a game I don't own, I'm actually just gonna go buy the deluxe edition of the game. And so, despite playing it from my Game Pass subscription, I have now purchased the deluxe edition of the game so that I have the game and the season pass. The Game Pass system works. I have spent the money twice.
Yeah. Yay. It is. I've not finished the main game in Escape Academy because it was the kind of thing where I sat down and played it with a couple friends. And mm-hmm. I'm kind of waiting for that group to get back together again, which is, you know, very difficult. Yeah. But like it was like exhilarating. I think one of the things like literally finished it in the final seconds. Incredible moment. It's basically, for people who don't know, it is a video game escape room. The puzzles are brilliant. The hint system is very smartly implemented. It is just like an extremely well-designed game. Also, disclosure, friend of the site, Sarah McNulty. I think she was a producer on this game.
Yes.
Very heavily involved. But we played it on Game Pass. We were not gifted codes by friends. It's just a kick-ass game.
Yeah, throughout the entire one, we actually eventually got to the point where we had a rule where we weren't allowed to use hints. We would just if we fail this, we fail, and then we'll go back and do it again. But we do not use hints because we got obsessed with like no, we need A pluses on every single room. So you can't use hints, and you have to like have a certain amount of time left at the end of it. So I think we got done, and we only have like a couple. I think we almost have all the achievements for it.
That's incredible.
Like, I think most of the stuff that we're missing is that, like, we wouldn't go and talk to people between the escape rooms. We would just go directly from one to the other. And I'm like, oh, we should, like, go back and talk to the NPCs because we didn't do that. But yeah, no, we've already started the DLC, and I am looking forward to more DLC coming. I will be very sad when I run out of this game to play.
It's funny because the first time triggered a hint, it was an accident. I think my wife had the controller, so they hit a button mm-hmm. and it was like, oh shit. Because it was like a moment where you're panicking about like, we need to figure out what to do. And she hit the button. It's like, well, now we know what to do. We can breathe a little bit as this water is coming above our head.
That puzzle is stressful. Like in reality, it's no different than a regular timer.
Yeah.
But watching the water slowly rise to the room is so much more stressful than just having a timer going.
And I do love, because it does mimic that feeling in actual escape rooms where like you're like, I'm running out of time, I just need to try shit. And I think it's like the third or fourth one that you do that, like, I think there's like a puzzle where it's like you need to turn statue heads the right way.
Yeah,
and we didn't have a lot of time, and like we're staring at it being like, how do we do this? I'm like, I'm just gonna brute force it, let's go.
Yeah, I had one situation where I solved a puzzle on accident just by playing with it, but then that made it way difficult because I had solved it before the puzzle I was supposed to solve before it that would have given me the answer to that one. So then it like threw off like what order I was doing things in, and I got very confused. But that was my fault, not the game's fault.
Yep. Yeah,
I was poking things I shouldn't have been poking.
Yep. What a cool game.
Great game. I want more of them at that quality. Yeah, I think we'll call that an episode.
That sounds like a connectivity.
Yeah, it does. Thanks very much for listening. If you're listening to this somewhere where you can rate it, that would be a cool thing that you could do. You could send us in listener mail. Maybe, what's your hypothesis for things that are releasing this year. Do you think Zelda will be delayed? Do you think Metroid Prime 4 will come out this year? Do you think Metroid Prime 1 HD is a real game and Neil and I aren't just crazy? let us know by sending in listener mail to connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com. Follow us on Twitter @connectivitynwr. I think that's all the things. All right, cool. Bye.
This was made possible by our generous supporters on Patreon. Check out patreon.com/NWR for all the details.